This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham in for Cynthia Canty. Well, it's Wednesday. Let's talk about some Michigan history.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do grant.
The other passengers very reluctantly gave up their seats, but I refused.
The young man makes up his mind to work. There's no limit to what he can do.
This is truly the next chapter in General Motors' recovery and turnaround.
You're living at a time of extremism, a time of revolution.
You might have recognized that last voice in that intro. It's Malcolm X. A lot of you might know that he grew up in Michigan, but beyond that, it's a little fuzzy. Joining us to give a little more clarity is the Michigan History Center's Rachel Clark. Rachel, Malcolm X, or as a child, Malcolm Little, was born in Nebraska. What brought his family to Michigan?
When he was in Nebraska, his father was preaching the sort of the word of Marcus Garvey in this idea that African-Americans in America will never be welcome or equal to whites, and so they should find a place for themselves back in Africa. And that was not seen very well by the people of Omaha. And so the KKK actually showed up at his house and sort of forced the Littles out, and they moved. They moved to Minnesota first for a short period of time, and then by 1927, they ended up in Lansing, most likely to follow work, which was happening with a lot of people at that time.
And Malcolm X's family, not really welcomed by the white people in Lansing either. What happened?
No, they weren't. The first place where they ended up was in a neighborhood in North Lansing. If people are familiar with the city, it's off Grand River by the airport. But in 1929, the land company that owned that neighborhood took Earl Little to court, stating that only Caucasians could live there. So the courts ruled in favor of the land company and evicted the Littles. So after that, actually, a group called the Black Legion showed up at their house and burned their house down to make sure that they left. So after that, they moved right on the Lansing-East Lansing border. But East Lansing at that time was not particularly friendly to black people. There are some speculations that East Lansing was a sundown town, which means that if you are not white, you need to leave the town by sundown. And so finally, Earl Little built a house for his family. At the time, it was out in the country. It was on Logan Street, which is now Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
His father was killed on Michigan Avenue. In fact, if you know where the green door is, it's right about that location. Allegedly struck by a streetcar. I say allegedly because some people believe he might have been murdered. That event, the loss of the Little family's father, was devastating for the family. What happened to everyone?
They stayed together for a little bit, but by 1939, Louise Little, Malcolm's mother, she suffers a breakdown and is committed to Kalamazoo State Hospital. So Malcolm and his siblings, they do stay together for a little bit. Malcolm lives with family and friends, but he starts to get into trouble, and he's eventually kicked out of West Junior High School in Lansing, and the state takes over. So he is sent to the Ingham County Detention Home, which is in Mason, a town about 10 miles south of Lansing. And he lives there with the Swerline family. And it's called a detention home, but if you look sort of at historic accounts, it's essentially a foster home for kids who are waiting court dates to determine what's going to happen to them. So sometimes it's a situation where they are juvenile offenders, but then there are others. There's a four-year-old living in the house at the same time as Malcolm Little. And so there are basically just kids waiting court dates. And so Malcolm ends up living in Mason for a time. The Swerlines really like him. He's a very personable kid. He's a very smart kid. And Mrs. Swerline really sort of pushes for Malcolm to stay in Mason. And she arranges with another family, the Lyon family, for Malcolm to go move in with them. They are a black family. They live about a block away, and they have some boys that are about the same age as Malcolm. So they decide that rather than the detention home, the Lyons is a better fit for him.
He went to school in Mason. How did he do there?
He did very well. The students really received him well. He was on the football team. He was on the basketball team. He was elected class president. He's getting very good grades. He's very sociable. The adults in the community are a bit mixed. There's some very racist feelings toward Malcolm by some people. But overall, I think that the community sort of welcomes him. The students do, especially.
He eventually leaves Michigan. What happens to him?
After his eighth grade year, he moves in with his sister in Boston. And he spends some time there and gets sort of a new sense of a new place to live. But he starts getting into trouble. And a few years later, he ends up getting arrested and sent to prison in Massachusetts. And sort of this is where his story in sort of the public eye begins. Most people become more familiar with his story at this point in his life.
So what's been the legacy of Malcolm X as far as Lansing and Mason are concerned?
There's a historic marker on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard where the final house that the Little family lived in is. And there are people that still live in Mason that remember him and remember his time there. And so he is still remembered fondly as a very personable, very polite, very talented young man.
That's Rachel Clark from the Michigan History Center. Thanks for telling us about Malcolm X's life in Michigan.
Thank you so much.
You know, after Malcolm X became a leading spokesperson for the Nation of Islam and a nationally known civil rights activist, he still visited Michigan on occasion. In 1963, he was to give a speech at Michigan State University. Just prior to that speech, he met with reporters. Here's an excerpt of that news conference.
I believe you said before, sir, that you're working for an entirely separate way of living between the blacks and the whites, separated completely. By doing this, aren't you actually abandoning everything the Negroes ever worked for, racial equality?
I don't think black people want racial equality. Black people want equality. Equality has nothing to do with race. A man is equal whether there's another man around or not. And you, the black people in America who think in the present day way of thinking don't attach their equality or don't connect their equality with the white man. I don't want to be equal to a white man. I want equality. And my desire for equality has nothing whatsoever to do with the white man. I want equality whether there's a white man on earth or isn't a white man on earth. And this is a mistake that the white people make. By putting themselves up as the criteria and telling the black man, you're equal to me, or you are as good as I, and the white man himself is not the yardstick that you use today to measure equality, justice, or freedom, or anything else.
That's Malcolm X at Michigan State University. That recording is courtesy of the Vincent Voice Library at MSU. Support for arts and culture coverage comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.